Okay. All right, come on back. How did that go for you? Did that give you a better understanding of the metaprograms? Anybody? You feel like you're getting a little bit better? You understand them? Yeah. So there are distinctions. We can utilize those distinctions, and they can be valuable to do. Let's get this group's answers back. If we could get them in the next couple of days, it'd be cool. And then we'll type them up. We'll give everybody responses, too. So you'll have lots of responses that you can use. Now. Yeah, within the next couple of days. You'll split them up. All right, good, good, good. What we're going to do now is we're going to shift from... Now, by the way, that's part of the business patterns. And we'll come back to business patterns later because we still need to learn the five-step sales process and some other things. What I want to do right now is shift back to quantum linguistics for a little while. And I'd like to share with you a pattern that's one of my absolute favorites. It's the linguistic parts integration. Now, I do the linguistic parts integration a little bit differently than other people that I've run into. You can find this in the quantum linguistics section under linguistic parts integration, which is page 248. You got it. Let's turn to page 248. You got it. Okay, so linguistic parts integration, it says, the first thing you're going to do, it says it can be useful in integrating parts. Here's how you'd resolve a parts conflict using prime concerns. Now, we haven't gone into prime concerns yet, although we're going to take a look at how that's part of, prime concerns is part of quantum linguistics, and we're going to go into that next, tomorrow. But let's start looking at how you might integrate parts linguistically. So you can do this without even having to do the formal parts integration. It says process. First, you're going to discover the function or behavior for each part. What's the behavior of the part, or what is the function that the part plays? Two, discover the purpose or intention behind the behavior. What's the purpose of this behavior? What's the intent of the behavior? So you're going to chunk up on the part. And then it says make sure the learnings are preserved. What is there to learn from the behavior? Handle the ecology of the integration. And what you do is linguistically you just begin to switch the purpose intention of one part to the other. So you take the intention from part A and talk about it as though it were the intention of part B, while at the same time talking about the original intention for part A and the original intention for part B, and then test for integration. That's the traditional way of doing the linguistic parts integration. So all you do is you get two parts, and you start linguistically swapping the intentions between the parts. So that's pretty self-explanatory, pretty easy. I want to show you an easier, a more fun way to do it, which will oftentimes produce really, really good results. So what I'll do is I want to teach you two language patterns that I use quite often. Remember we talked about, in quantum linguistics, we talked about delivering a language pattern which is an inductive language pattern, right? So we light up the neural networks inside a problem, and then we work our way outward for an inductive language pattern. If you do that, and if you deliver a language pattern which is either the non-mirror image reverse, the inverse or the converse can also be effective, you have the potential of blowing the boundary conditions on the part. So if we get a single part, and we say that's the part, and you go inside that with your language, and you use an inductive non-mirror image reverse language pattern, or an inductive inverse or converse language pattern, that alone can integrate the part without even necessarily calling out the second part. So for example, I had somebody come to me and the presenting problem was perfection, like he had to be perfect. That was the presenting problem. He said, part of me has to be perfect at everything I do, otherwise I can't do something. I said, really? That's interesting. I said, perfect for what purpose? Right? So I got one part. So I start chunking up. Perfect for what purpose? He said, well, so that I need to be perfect so that I can feel good about what it is that I'm doing. And I said, okay, feel good for what purpose? He said, well, geez, I need to feel good so that I can be happy. And I said, I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say. I said, anything less than accepting imperfection isn't perfect and isn't happiness, isn't it? That's what he said. Anything less than accepting imperfection isn't perfection and it isn't happiness, isn't it? Yeah. So what I did was, and now people are going, By the way, you'll fry their brains at some point. They'll go like, you'll see smoke coming out their ears. And what you want to do is sometimes if you run over the boundary conditions back and forth with a non-mirror image reverse language pattern, a non-mirror image reverse inductive language pattern, what that does is it'll break the boundary conditions up, or an inverse or converse inductive language pattern. And you may find that you may need to run over the boundary conditions a couple of times with that language pattern in order to get them really to fully dissolve. Now, you'll know that you've done a good job with this type of parts integration if the client goes, what? And we'll get into this more in depth with prime concerns. But it's a fun place to start with it. So if the client goes, what? What happened is the client's kind of slipped into the void. They've kind of slipped into that thought where you've twisted their mind. It's kind of like with the language patterns we were using earlier when we were going over the inverse, remember the Cartesian coordinates, the theorem, the inverse, the converse, the theorem, the converse, inverse, non-mirror image reverse. What happens is you'll send them into that void type space where they're thinking of the unthinkable. Now, I will often, another thing that I'll do at this point is I'll deliver a not pattern. Not pattern. Not patterns are double negatives. And what a double negative does is it stretches the mind in a way that it usually can't think or hasn't thought before. So when I said anything less than accepting imperfection isn't perfection and isn't happiness, isn't it? That's a double not. It's like, isn't perfection and isn't happiness, isn't it? It's a double not. What that does, it'll send them for a mind spin as well. Kind of puts them into the void, puts them into that no thought type place. So it'll send them into it could be confusion. Now what happens if somebody goes into confusion, by the way? Because some people will do anything to get out of confusion, and they'll grasp for anything at that point. So confusion can be quite a useful state in terms of breaking somebody from their model of the world. It can be really useful. And it's not just about clarity, isn't it? I mean, when you think about confusion.